So does it matter if the R and the L on your little earbuds go in the right or left ear?
Not especially, but it's more comfortable there in the correct ear if you have normal ears.
I don't.
Okay, I'm sorry.
My right ear is very tiny.
Is it smaller than your left ear?
It appears to be like everything, it feels uncomfortable on that side when I put anything in there.
Just get it drilled out a little bit more.
No, that sounds very painful. So good morning, James.
How did we talk about babies?
Oh, I said, was Bob a cute baby?
Yeah, but why did you ask that?
I don't even know.
As I said earlier, no, he was not a cute baby because babies are not cute.
That's hilarious.
Babies are gross. Yeah, they get better. It takes years for them to, you know, get to the point where they're tolerable, but, you know, babies are gross.
Years for them to be tolerable.
Absolutely. You kidding me? They can't even walk. Oh, that's right. I was talking about in relation to your TikTok videos.
Your failed TikTok videos.
You can't expect to come out swinging. Just like on the third day after my son was born, he still wasn't walking. I didn't tell him, hey, Bob, you know what? It's been 3 days. You haven't figured out the walking thing. Just give it up. You got to give it a chance to develop.
Poor kid.
Kids are tolerable when they finally get potty trained. Let's be frank.
Yes.
Before that, it's just a
blob and a
suit. It's difficult.
Well, long story short, I did work very hard on the alleged TikTok videos. And it took me hours to realize that I'm not a videographer. And my skill set really isn't honed in that regard. And it was disappointing.
You can become one. And the standards on TikTok are very low.
I looked at many TikTok videos and they all seem to have some, I mean, is there like a TikTok format? Because a lot of them look the same. Their expressions are the same. The people come out and they do the same stuff. And I'm just not interested in any of that. I started looking at some different things.
Unless you've curated your system, you're falling into the general junk, the horrible stuff that shit floats to the top. So whatever you're seeing in the regular stream of things is going to be all, well, you know, crap.
Right.
So you have to drill down and find the things that you're interested in. And then those things, those channels are quite different from one another. But there are definitely tropes that people reuse and reuse over and over again.
Why did they do that?
There are sound effects. There are cutaways and things that are built in not only into the program, but also become part of the trope of the platform.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Yeah, expressions and how you say things. It's all...
Well, the camera angles, the lighting, it was like they just photoshopped someone else's face into the same video over and over and over and over.
Well, it's copy and paste, right? They see something that's popular and they're trying to replicate it to be also popular without realizing the reason that the first thing became popular is because it was probably new and or unique.
Right.
And you're not being new or unique by just copying it.
No. And I found a lot of it really boring.
In fact, you suck. So if it doesn't look like that stuff, Catherine, you're probably on the right track.
Oh, no, it did not look anything like that stuff.
I'll give you an example you probably haven't ever thought about.
Okay,
think about this for a minute.
I'm thinking.
If you were a young person who was genuinely wanted to make wonderful art that actually inspired people and that was beautiful and made people think or feel or cry or whatever, would you suggest that they go look at Sotheby's and the top galleries in New York to figure out how they should be making art? Is that what you suggested them?
I think that studying art and looking at other people's work is definitely a point
of... I'm not talking about studying art. I'm talking about looking at the top flight galleries in New York and modeling your career after what you see there.
Oh, no, not modeling your career. Okay. I misunderstood
your question.
My whole point
is the whole point of our Subrant podcast is deconstructing the fine art world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can lead a Catherine to the trough, but... Well, actually, I don't know why I would lead you to a trough. If I led you to a trough, Catherine, I would expect you to slap me.
I would. I would probably.
You know what? I don't see that happening. If I led you to a trough, I think you would just look at me. You'd give me that look and you'd walk away.
I probably would.
And then I'd kill myself because, you know, you'd give me the look.
Yeah, I'm not a violent person.
I think in your mind you are, though.
I know.
I think you have a lot of mind violence.
I think I do. One of my favorite lines is like from Moonstruck. When Olympia Dukakis looks at her father and they're eating at the table, like a meal, and she looks at her dad and she said, "Old man, if you feed that dog one more bite of my food, I'm going to kick you till you're dead."
Wow, anyway, that's very impressive.
We could move on.
I know the movie. I don't know if I guess I probably saw it
Misha
one point.
And I were talking about it the other day and we were just cracking each other up. I guess he had to be there.
Well, it's not really my flavor of films.
Well, it's not mine either. Moonstruck is one of the movies I could watch over and over and over again.
Doesn't that have Cher in it?
It does.
And who's the male lead?
Oh, God. You had to ask me, and I see his face, and I can't think of what his name is.
Is it the idiot from Raising Arizona?
Yes.
Oh, God, he is awful.
What is his name? Nicolas Cage, yes. I actually, you know.
What?
I actually think that there were a lot of films he did that was like the same film, but a different name of the film.
Oh, were they all stupid?
No, they all like seemed like the same movie.
I think Raising Arizona was the only one that was remotely interesting.
And I couldn't stand that film.
He's a terrible actor and makes terrible films.
I loved him in Moonstruck.
Not that I have opinions. You know, Cage is a stage name. And
I
he
know.
Took that after Luke Cage, a comic book character.
Ah.
Like a third-rate comic book character.
I don't know anything about comics.
So if you were going to... well, I'm just saying. It's like literally naming himself Spider-Man.
What would your stage name be?
I don't know. I haven't really considered it.
I haven't either. Let's move on. Do you want to hear my end-of-the-year story? Because 2021 was, you know, so up and down. Mostly up and then very sharp trajectory down.
Well, only if it has nothing to do with Nicolas Cage.
It doesn't. It's like my art slash craft adjacent. I went to Sprouts on December 31st just to pick up some groceries. I just wanted to do a quick drive-by. And so I ordered some stuff and, you know, they put it all together. And so I went to pick it up. And then when we met, you know, when you took the hats out of my car, when we met at AJ's, I had all the hats. You know, I put stuff in my car and it just sits there until it rots. So
this is why you should have a Miata.
No, I need something smaller. So anyway, I popped the back, you know, hatchback thing of the SUV, and there was nowhere to put the stuff. So I said to the gal, I'm like, oh, excuse me, I got to move this. So I started moving it, and then she says, do you knit a lot? You know, really, it's not even a rhetorical question. I mean, there's like tons of knitting in these boxes. And I'm like, oh, yes, yes. And she's like, do you sell?
You could just be a knit thief.
Or a factory. I could be a, you know, I mean, anyway.
You could be importing these from Nigeria or something.
Yeah, Sri Lanka. I mean, where do they knit? I don't know if they knit. Anyway, so I said, yes, I do. And she's like, would you sell them? And I'm like, I used to. I don't anymore. I'm like, why, do you want one? She's like, oh, yeah, I might want a few. I'll buy some. I'm like, don't buy it. Just take some. It was the holidays. I wanted to tip them for putting the groceries in my car, and they'd done my shopping for me because I was too lazy. And so she looked at them, and she pulled out one of the little fluffy ones that you didn't really like. It was like the rainbow pastel. And she plops it on her head, which just makes me nervous because I never wanted anyone. I had like test hats that people could put on. I didn't want them just arbitrarily trying stuff on. And then I would never sell those. I would just like give them away.
Oh, relax. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's all about microbiology to me. So as soon as she shoved it on her head, I'm like, well, even if you don't like it, you have to take it. And then if you don't like it, keep it and pick another one. But you put it on your head. And she started laughing. She's like, no, I love it. And so she was like, oh, I want to hug you. This is so cute. Are you serious? I'm like, yes. And she's like, this is the best thing I got all day. And she was so cute and so happy. And then she walked back up to Sprouts and two of her coworkers walked out. And then she started pointing to my car and they were doing the thumbs up and they started walking toward the car. And I just sped away because I didn't want any more interaction. I'm like, okay, thank you.
That's a hard out.
But I thought that was a nice like end of year story. I made someone happy and she was so happy. And I like, you know, because when people would buy my stuff, they'd often smile. And I always thought that was so cute. You know, it was so fun to see that connection. And I just
Well, you know, you could get that connection again if you would start selling your hats again.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be 70 degrees today. I think my window of opportunity.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It's never over. People buy fashionable stuff whenever they want.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll persist and continue doing this. She persisted.
And had you sold it, obviously I would have required my cut of that sale because you only had that stuff in the car because of me.
Right. What is that, like 20% or 40%?
And that we'll get to that. And that was podcast adjacent.
Right.
So obviously it should just go on. Well, as a former gallerist.
Yes.
I took 70%.
Oh, really?
No, I took 30%.
70% would be, that would be awesome. To do nothing and make money off someone else's. No, that's just horrific. But anyway, no, I made someone happy and I wish she had taken more.
You sped off. You ran away.
I did. I
she
sped
could
off.
Get any more.
I just hit the pedal to the metal and just done.
If you'd really liked her, you should have given her some NFTs because that's what all the kids want these days.
Oh, the kids want the NFTs. It's just blowing up.
It's really not the kids so much as you. Seem really focused on these
you know, because I'm focused. I think it brings our podcast back full circle to, you know, our first season, which you don't want to call our first season.
We don't have seasons.
I know, but our first podcast was technically about nothing, and and we talked about. And I think NFTs are kind of nothing, even though they seem to be something. That's right from the first podcast.
Well, there's a little bit of nothing in there, but there's potential.
Okay, we'll discuss it for the viewers and listeners. viewers. They're reviewing their life, wondering why the hell they're listening to this.
Yeah, if they're here, they definitely need some help. which we are not equipped to provide.
No, I have nothing to give but hats.
Just be thankful, listeners, that you don't have to deal with all the stuff that comes out of Catherine every week.
What? That sounds weird.
You sent me that article.
Mm-hmm. Go for it. I do some of it because I find it interesting. Some of it I find that it's funny because I laugh as I press
okay,
go.
Well, you tell me which bucket that this one fit into.
Okay,
woman
go.
Who earned $200,000 selling fart jars.
Oh, that
hospitalized
was just ridiculous.
By her work.
Don't even talk about that. I deleted that article.
See, you made me read it.
I was laughing the whole time.
While I was reading it, you were laughing the whole time thinking about me reading it?
No, I laughed the whole time I pressed the button. And then I forgot about it until you mentioned it this morning. I'm like, oh God, I did send that. And I don't even drink or do any substances.
You really are a sociopath. You know that?
I mean, yeah, that was probably on 4 cups of coffee and like half a bagel. And I sent that to you. I mean, I don't.
I made 2 notes here. One is said, this is not art. It's not my problem. Why are you talking to me about it? And the second one was, are we talking about sex workers now? Are we talking about pornography?
See,
I didn't see it as pornographic.
I really saw it
what
as
the
something.
What else would it be?
I thought it'd be something like a gag gift. You'd buy it like that old
not at those prices.
Spencer's. Like fart in a box. But like she put her, the thing that got to me was like she would fart in jars, but, and pardon me for this bathroom humor, it is just not even humorous. It's just downright disgusting. But why would you even bother doing that? And she did it so much that she put herself in the hospital.
People were buying them and it's a way to make money. She was some minor celebrity and people, that's how she wanted to, you know, whatever. Moving on.
Yeah, let's move
on.
That
was just
so stupid. The
next several articles you sent me were from Fortune, which is behind a paywall, so I didn't get to read them.
I know. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I buy the Apple Plus, so I look at everything.
But they were all about NFTs, so you really do have a problem with NFTs.
I have, I guess, just like morbid interest.
Do you really understand NFTs?
Every time I think I understand it, it appears to be like this elusive concept that goes right through my brain cells, the brain cell walls.
I think it would be amusing for you to describe NFTs. What is an NFT?
It appears to be something that someone makes into some sort of file, and then they pay someone.
What kind of file?
I don't know. Digital file. And then you publish it or, I don't know, they call it something else. That eludes me because this whole thing eludes me. And they basically post it online in this like kind of like a matrixy thing that I believe they call a blockchain. And then it's like assigned a unique number and then people can buy it.
There's some nuggets in there.
And then I don't know what they're supposed to do with it. I don't know why they'd buy it. I don't know if you can print it. I mean, say it's art. Let's just say like... For now, for the purposes of our podcast, NFT equals art. I know there's other stuff. Say you buy like an NFT of my white painting, so you're buying nothing on canvas for, you know, like what the hell do you do with it?
We're talking about the physical painting or a picture of it?
Like a picture of my physical painting.
Okay. So you're talking about like a JPEG image of your white canvas.
JPEG. Mm-hmm. And so I make a JPEG image. It's like stuck in the blockchain. It's like supersonic serial number XYZ123. You know, they buy it. They own that image. I still have the painting. I didn't attach that. You can't attach.
And the image.
So they bought the image. What do they do? Say you bought XYZ123. What do you do with
it? What they do with it, I think they just hold it close to them dearly at night while they are sleeping alone in their studio apartments.
So you cuddle with it?
Yes. That seems to be the only purpose of the NFT.
But that just
at
makes no
point.
Sense, James. None of it makes sense.
It really doesn't. It's fashion or nonsense, or it's probably a lot of it is scamming. Not all of it. There's some stuff happening out there that people are transacting deals to buy, quote, artwork and, quote, own artwork. But most of it really, I think, is garbage. If you're talking about the art, art NFTs.
Right.
I think a lot of it is just visual diarrhea. It's just people are literally just spewing out crap just to sell because this whole NFT thing is so new and so nascent that they don't really know what's going on. And there were some quotes from one of the articles you sent me. There's this V Friends thing, which some guy put up and he's made millions of dollars.
Right.
Well, according to him, he's made millions of dollars just these terrible, like literally like third grade level drawings. He creates characters and he sells each one for, you know, initially they were a couple $100 and now they're thousands of dollars a piece. And you quote own it, but you don't really own anything there. I mean, what's there to own? A crummy digital picture of a third grade level sketch of a character?
See, that's what I don't understand.
That's exactly what the high end of the art world is like. That is exactly the high end of the art world. Devoid of content, but still selling because someone has a network and someone can convince someone else that it's worth something.
Okay.
That's just marketing. It's the same thing in the real world.
So the article I sent you, it was in Fortune magazine, and I actually thought some of the artist's work was kind of interesting. And the title of the article is a 24-year-old artist who started selling NFTs less than a year ago is now making six figures. Here's how she did it. And she does attach like some of her actual paintings to the NFT so they can get something tangible.
So that this basically becomes the receipt for the physical painting.
Correct.
Since I couldn't read the article, I couldn't see her work. Was her work any good?
Yeah, I'll show you. That's a picture of one of it. That's her.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get a sense for it.
Yeah,
looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, it's kind of cartoony. It's linear, elongated, kind of quasi. Minting it, that's what it's called. Like when you publish it, you mint it.
Oh, yeah, well, the first time you put it on the blockchain, the first block in the blockchain.
Okay, so, yeah, I see all of that. It just feels like someone made up this whole world, and they made up their own language, and they shared it with a couple people, and then they shared it with a couple people, and then now everyone thinks they know, and if they don't know, they front like they know that they're what we're talking about, and then everyone talks like Ethereum blockchain, minting, blah, 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 you know, and then it's like, and then there's this thing that they've created that is just like a bunch of hogwash, and it makes me want to scream into my pillow.
The screaming your pillow part is unnecessary, Catherine, because but you hit the nail on the head.
Okay. I did finally.
I'm saying when you identify these things as being, you know, nonsensical, the point about bullying people into making them believe that you know what you're talking about and what you're talking about is valuable, that's the crux of it right there. That's why everything is being sold, because it's loss aversion is really a deeply seated problem with humans. And if a human feels like they're missing out on something, that's the worst kind of feeling you can, almost the worst kind of feeling you can give a human.
Oh, that FOMO thing.
They don't want to feel that. Yeah, they don't want to feel.
Yeah, fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
This feels like a created situation, and like art world moved into it because it is hard. I mean, this gal in the article, you know, made a good point. She's like, it's hard to make money being an artist. Oh, duh.
No shit.
Yeah, duh.
Unless you're really good at it. Unless you're really good at marketing or really good at making art.
Exactly. If you're really good at both, you're just really good.
I don't think any of those people really exist. Maybe once here and there, but very, very rarely. So here's some articles. Since you kind of were going down this path, I can deconstruct one of these articles based on some of the quotes that I pulled out. Okay. This was an ABC article that I was actually able to read.
Okay.
A quote from one of the NFT guys. And there is optimism from some who say that Web3, basically NFTs and blockchains,
Web3, right,
has the power to transform the internet and society for the better. That's exactly what they always say when some new shit comes out. And guess what? That either you're lying or you're naive, because that's not how it's going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And the second quote kind of is why. And this is the quote. It's about friendship. It's about relationship. In the beginning, when communities are small, that's what it's always about. But when these things grow and the communities around them are start to grow and become actually impactful to the larger culture, they're going to be completely usurped by larger companies. And those initial relationships that you're talking about and those little community groups, they will be wiped away, wiped clean off the slate like they never existed. Do you remember GeoCities?
No.
No, you don't. That was the that was the early internet, baby, and it's gone. Everything from the early internet has been destroyed. You know, the internet 1 is destroyed. Internet 2, well, it's going strong. And, you know, this may or may not be, quote, the Web 3.
Yeah, what is this Web3? See, that's another layer of let's just talk some more smack on top of more smack.
Well, right? Web2 is social media. Web1 is just being able to get on and publish something so that everyone across the world can instantly access it through a browser. That was back when blogs were a big thing and
people
could sub-publish, but it took a little bit of extra effort to publish rather than just getting on Facebook and, boy, talk about diarrhea. And, you know, the other quote that I loved was, we're building a lifestyle and we're making a movement.
I almost read that. You took the words right out of my...
Smarter, greedier people are going to come in here, figure this out, and take it over, and you're going to be gone. You're going to be gone. Whatever money you made, that's fine. Make sure you don't spend it. There was a smart quote from one guy who seemed to have some idea what he was talking about. And he said, In the short term, NFTs are transforming our ability to have ownership and thus markets in digital goods and commodities. And that will start filtering into physical goods and commodities. That's his full quote.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the point. Right now, it's in its nascent form. So whatever it is now isn't what it's going to be.
Right.
It has to transform so fully and completely before the masses can actually interact with this stuff because it's too complicated and too... It's not ready for prime time. Let's put it that way.
It's not. And, you know, I find myself to be somewhat intelligent, and this boggles my mind.
The idea that it gives ownership of some digital stuff, in some ways that's important and interesting, but also when it crosses over into the real world, when you can connect this to a piece of actual artwork or a property or a vehicle or like a book. Right now, you can go buy a book on Kindle Store, right?
Right.
But are you really buying that book? Because A... You'll only be able to read that so long as the Kindle platform is around, and platforms don't exist forever.
Right.
I mean, I think in 20 years, if the entire Kindle app just, you know, went away for some reason, that would not be surprising to me. It may be around in 100 years, but will be around in 200 years? I don't think so. So your great grandkids are not going to be able to be reading your Kindle books. It's more like a rental thing because you can't sell it either. You can't sell a Kindle book. So you can buy a Kindle book, you can read it, this is a digital file you have access to, but you're basically just renting it.
I think that's a really interesting analogy. I think what you just said clarifies it more for me.
But if you had your book in an NFT,
theoretically,
well, first of all, you buy it, you own it, and then you can also sell it again.
Right.
So that gives you some more ownership than it would otherwise. So this is one way you could use an NFT, possibly for good. You could have a collection of books that you could read, and you have ownership of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, it's a digital thing, so you could just copy the contents of the book and release it separate from the blockchain, but it's almost like a collectible, and that's a lot of the NFTs are trying to get in that same mindset of collectibilities, like comic books and baseball cards. And that's another thing. And if you're really thinking about NFTs and getting into it, just understand that that's what we're talking about. It's basically a collectible at this point. And there's no intrinsic value in the thing you're buying. It's just the value you're putting on it as a collectible. And are they really collectible?
You know, back in the day, my friend, one of my friends and I collected those little teddy bears. What were the Beanie Babies?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And she texted me over the holidays. She's like, do you have HBO Max? You've got to watch this Beanie Baby movie. And I was just, you know, I that's on my list of to watch while I'm dating. In terms of collectibles, but like then you'd have like your little basket of babies, you know, and someone can come over and see them. Say you're the biggest NFT collector on the planet. How do you share your part of the collectible mentality is showing your stash, your hoard to other people and proudly displaying it. Like collectors are notorious displayers of their collectibles.
You can do that online. You can do that on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. You can share those images that you bought through those platforms and show that you're the owner of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But, you know, that's a lot more shallow than being able to put it on your wall and have all your stupid friends come over and talk about why this Jeff Koons really is super art.
Right.
So are those Beanie Babies worth anything now?
Oh, I don't know. I piled them up into a box.
Yeah, they're not worth anything now.
This is
the thing with collectibles, is there are bubbles in them. And you got to be careful about if you get in early on the bubble, and it's too late for, I think, NFT art to get in early on the bubble, these bubbles burst.
Right.
This weird thing happened in the 1980s. People have been collecting comic books for decades by that point. But the people who have been collecting them got to the point where they were actually making a lot of money now. They were like 40 years old, and they were Wall Street bankers or whatnot. And they really wanted to reclaim their childhood. So they were going back in the 50s and 60s and trying to find what at that point was very rare comic books. If you had, the old Superman and Batman, that stuff was printed on crap paper and was designed to be thrown out. Basically, you read it and you throw it out. And that's how kids treated comic books back in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
So there are very few original edition comic books from that era. So they became very popular and they became very expensive, like millions of suddenly what was selling for a few hundred dollars became a few thousand dollars, became literally a few million dollars for
one comic book. I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah. That was in the 1990s. Now that affected the industry though. The industry saw this and they went absolutely nuts. Comic book values went up overnight for all comic books, regardless of the quality of them. And the industry got so crazy that they would print like a new X-Men. X-Men was one of the premier brands, comic book series in the 1990s. They would print one issue with six different covers so that you could collect them all.
Oh, wow.
And that bubble blew up. There was too much inventory.
They saturated the market.
They oversaturated the market. And then you went from having a comic book that was maybe a few years old worth $2,000 going back down to $2. Now, mm-hmm. if you bought it when it was $2,000, you got kind of screwed.
Right.
Same thing happens over and over again mm-hmm. with humans, because humans are stupid and, you know, you take advantage of them. And the mm-hmm. NFTs are in that stage right now. They will probably evolve into something completely different and it's completely useful, but not right now.
Right. Yeah. And what I was going to say is, like, one of the things that, and, you know, maybe you want to talk about this. It was talking about, like, collectors, it can be lucrative, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's, like, royalties set up that mm-hmm. these transactions go back to the original creator, which for artwork I found interesting because, see, even like a Jean-Michel Basquiat, like when he sold the paintings or gifted the paintings or whatever, you know, he got whatever, you know, if you get $10 for your piece, if you get like $10,000 for your piece, like you get what you get minus like the transaction fees for a tangible sale. But the resell of that, you know, doesn't really default to the artist, either alive or dead. You know, you get what you get. Like, you're an emerging artist.
You sell your work originally, and that's what you get.
And that's what you get. And so this...
Unless you're a music artist, which in case you know, every time your music sells, you get a cut of that.
Right, like the royalties. So this kind of puts it in that same ballpark with the ability to every time those transactions
right let's back occur. Up and like explain what you're talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
If you sell an NFT, and again, NFT can be just a digital good or it can mm-hmm. be like a contract or a receipt for a physical good. Mm-hmm. It's however you want it, whatever
right.
however you want to define it, you can define it. If you buy either digital or physical artwork, the original artist has the option to add a stipend basically mm-hmm. to that NFT. So the right. next time you sell that NFT, part of that sale goes back to the original artist, mm-hmm. usually about 10%. So right. if you sell for $200, they get $20. And then the person who owns it, quote, owns it, is only getting 80% of a sale, which, you know, to this, the guy who owns it feels like maybe that's kind of shortchanging him. But is it? Especially if it goes up in value so much.
That's the presumption that they will continue to go up in value.
That's another benefit, possible mm-hmm. upside to NFTs, and which is why they may find a way into the mainstream market. And until they do, they're not going to be valuable at all, really. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be, like I said before, they're going to have to change radically before that because they are so difficult to interact with right now and so expensive. These things are not free.
No.
You probably put more money into minting your NFT, and that means, you know, getting on the blockchain, making a hash for it. Mm-hmm. It costs more to mint it than to make it.
That was the other downside I saw, that the folks or whoever is running, I don't know if there's like a running of the blockchain, I imagine like...
Oh, well, that's distributed. That's part of the technology. That's part of what makes it so, quote, secure, is because it's distributed. I guess we need to explain a little bit more mm-hmm. how this thing works. It's a digital file. Mm-hmm. This digital file gets a hash or a number assigned to mm-hmm. it, which is then distributed to a network. So a mm-hmm. network of people now see that this particular file has this particular hash. Mm-hmm. So if you go back in the future and you want to try to sell it again or transfer it again or make some kind of change to that original file, like ownership would right. be a change to that file. The community has to look at your hash and say, yes, this is accurate. This is the actual hash. So if you mm-hmm. try to fake it, the community will come and say, no, that's not the hash mm-hmm. that we have on file. So therefore it's not valid, but it's not like some main repository. It's the network mm-hmm. that has copies of them. This is a weird little sub-brand, but you only need 51% of the network to agree that your hash is accurate, your okay. NFT, your blockchain thing is accurate, to be accepted.
Wow.
So if anyone gets 51% control of a blockchain, mm-hmm. they basically can do whatever they want with that blockchain.
Oh, wow.
They can erase everything that's happened before it or anything that's happened or dictate what happens in the future. That's kind of the scary thing about the blockchain technology, because it's distributed. You know, if one entity ever dominated more than 51% of it, they would dominate the whole thing.
Interesting. Yeah, what I was going to say is, like, it appears to me, and again, it's my naivete in looking at this technology and et cetera, but it seems like the people who are setting all this up, who are setting up this infrastructure, are really the first people and maybe the only people ultimately who can really make money on this.
No. This whole first wave will be completely eradicated by whatever wave, if it ever becomes popular enough for the masses, because there are the huge technical hurdles before we get there. The system almost has to be reinvented before it can be used by the masses.
Okay.
If and when that happens, this whole nascent area, just like you don't remember GeoCities, this will be a GeoCity. We will remember it fondly for a few years, but the kids being born 10 or 15 years from now won't care one way they've ever heard or cared about VFriends or any of the nonsense that's going on now. Okay. It will be completely gone.
Okay, so it won't just be saying like NFT, we won't just be saying this is art.
NFT will be here, but like I'm saying, just like the internet is still here, even though GeoCities is, you can probably go find GeoCities somewhere on the internet. Maybe
no
not.
Clue.
I don't really know. And I don't care.
I don't care either.
But the basis is still there. It's just, it's a tool that the tool makers finally, you know, the big guys, some smart people finally figure out how to get it profitable. And they're the ones who are going to profit off of it. Not the early adopters.
All right. So anyway, that kind of, you know, it's just my morbid interest in this.
Morbid.
I don't know if it's morbid.
It's genuine. I think it's reasonable to be interested in this stuff. And maybe we'll follow up a little bit next week and try to expand it just a little bit. I don't want to spend too much more time.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much more time.
Next week we'll follow up.
Yeah, we need to
And maybe talk about it a little bit more.
Right. Anyway, so that's
And maybe you can send me some articles that I can actually read.
Oh, I didn't know that Fortune was behind a paywall.
Well, of course, you people inside your walled garden have no idea what's going on out here.
I know, my little walled garden.
In the rough world and rough and tumble world that's out here on the other side.
I know. I've got to get out.
All right, well, go. Bye.
Okay, bye.